I don't know how you felt this morning when it was announced that we were beginning the search for some new elders, but I'm excited about this. Anytime the church begins to look for additional leadership, that is an exciting time in the history of the church. That's a sign of health in a congregation to be able to see new leaders coming in to serve alongside the existing ones. It holds great potential. But I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't already know when I tell you it also holds great risk. Satan always tries to get a foothold at such junctures as this. But I am confident that we're going to see this process go as smoothly as we have seen it go in all the previous times we have seen new elders come into place here. It's going to require a lot of prayer, and it's going to require a lot of encouragement and support of our elders as this process moves forward. You know, one of the downsides, one of the few downsides of church planting is that we have made the sacrifice, not once, not twice, but three times, of seeing leaders go out with the new church plants. And with that gift of leadership, it has made it more difficult for us to have those men here serving as shepherds. This has put a real strain on our elders, and they have served in a wonderful way. They have shouldered this responsibility, and they've moved forward. Five men serving this congregation. There have been times in our history when we have had up around 11 men serving this congregation as elders. Currently, we have these five, and as they shared with us this morning, that's not enough to adequately shepherd a congregation of 800 members. Most of you have either been through a process of elder selection here at Sunset or at some other congregation where you've attended. When we go to Scripture to look at how we're to select elders, there's not a crystal clear example of a New Testament church going through the whole process of elder selection. And I think it's fair to assume that the Lord allows some leeway in the way we go about the selection process. The earliest elders that we read of in the New Testament were selected by either the Apostle Paul or by his members of his mission team, evangelists who appointed elders in some of those early churches. So if we wanted to be scriptural, I guess you'd just let Dwight and I pick out the new elders. I say that jesting. I think our assumption is correct that when we read about those elders being selected by Paul, that those were extraordinary times. Those were new churches. Those were mission churches. And at that time, that was what was needed. As the church matured, as time went on, we read about something that looks to be more closely akin to the model that we use. We read about a leadership team in Acts chapter 6 being selected. They were selected to serve a need within the Jerusalem church. And this group of men who were selected looked very much like what's later on referred to as deacons in the New Testament. And on that occasion, these instructions were given to this congregation in Jerusalem that was made up of more mature believers than some of those early churches in Crete and other mission areas were. And so they were told in Acts 6, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And so this model has been the one that we have most closely followed in our selection processes here, both with elders and with deacons when we have selected new deacons. As we begin this search for additional elders, let me just give you a little bit more background, and I'm going to hit on this lightly today, and I will go back over it in a more detailed fashion next Sunday. And I realize that many of these things, as we look at the qualifications, are things that you've heard over and over and over again, but I also realize that there's always a new generation growing up in the church, and they may not have heard these things and may not have gone over them in detailed fashion. So next week we'll do that. But I want to just hit the highlights tonight. The spiritual leaders within a congregation are denoted by three different titles that we use. One is elder, and it simply denotes in its title one who is older and presumably wiser, an elderly individual, an older person. Overseer is another term that's used. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And so there's the responsibility of an elder to help manage the affairs of a congregation. And then there's the title shepherd. And the shepherd is simply one who cares for the flock. That's a self-evident title. In 1 Timothy 3, in Titus chapter 1, we find a list of qualities which a spiritual leader should possess. And so on the sheets that are there on the podium under the attendance board in the back, we have these listed both positively and negatively. And I want to encourage every Christian to take one home and to prayerfully look over this. We simply wrote at the top of the sheet, and this is the same sheet that was used last time, after prayerfully considering the qualities outlined in 1 Timothy and in Titus, and knowing that no man can ever perfectly embody all of these qualities, please write in the names of any men of the congregation who you believe positively exhibit these qualities and who you would be willing to follow as a spiritual leader here at Sunset. And so going through the list, and we'll take it in more detail next time, I pray that as you do this, that you will ask yourself the question, does he desire the task? You'll probably only know that if you have a conversation with the individual. Is he above reproach? That's something that can be discerned quite easily. Is he the husband of but one wife? Is he temperate? We talk about the temperate zones on the earth. Those are those zones where the temperatures don't change very much. We want an even-tempered man to serve in this capacity. Is he self-controlled? Is he respectable? Is he hospitable? Is he able to teach? Is he gentle? Does he manage his family well? Does he have believing children? Does he have a good reputation, not just here at church, but with outsiders in the community? Does he love what is good? Is he upright? Is he holy? Is he disciplined? And then the negative qualities, and you can ask these either way, is he one who is given to alcohol? Is he violent? Is he a quarrelsome person? Is he a lover of money, materialistic? Is he overbearing? Is he quick-tempered? Is he a new Christian, a recent convert? And I think that most everyone here, as they approach this task that has been given us by the elders, will be able to go through and reflect on this and pray about this and respond accordingly. Now, no man will be perfect in any of these categories, much less all of them. And so what we need to look for as we seek out men who will serve in this way within our church family is an individual or individuals who lives positively in these ways. These qualities can be seen, or in the negative areas, they are not to be seen. And so as you leave tonight with these sheets in hand, I would suggest that one of the most practical ways to do this is to sit down and get one of the most recent church directories and just go through that directory. If it's our little orange one, go through and read the names. If you need to look at the pictorial directory, go through and look at the pictures and go through page by page and look at these and ask these questions of people who who seem to be those that would rise in your opinion. And you don't have to be a deacon first before you are an elder, but that certainly is a good list to begin with as we look at men who are already serving in this capacity as deacons. You may want to talk with some of these men and their wives. I've already made a call or two this afternoon and inquired of two different couples whether or not they would even be willing to go forward with this, understanding that the responsibility and the time can and does at times prohibit certain individuals from serving. But more than anything, I want to encourage you. Pray about this. Over the next 2 weeks, I hope and pray that there will be fasting and prayer as part of this process, and that every day we will spend time in prayer as this process moves forward. Now tonight, having just sort of lightly touched on these matters that we'll look at in more detail later, I want to address a much smaller group within this crowd. I want to talk for just a minute and allow the rest of you to listen in on this conversation. I want to talk to those who will be considered to serve as elders. They're probably sitting here, many of them right now. And I can't think of a greater honor than for someone to say to a brother, would you be willing to serve? I'd like to put your name forward. Would you be willing to serve? To even be asked that question is a tremendous honor. But that honor quickly fades when the sobering responsibility of the task is clearly weighed. And I don't know a single godly elder who didn't have fear in his heart as he considered for the first time the possibility of serving as a shepherd in the Lord's church. Now, the Bible is filled with such stories of those who were called upon to take on leadership roles within God's kingdom. Moses didn't want to serve. He offered a whole series of excuses. And finally, he ended up by saying to God, who asked him to do this task, he said, please find someone else to do it. Now, I think it's worthy of note, and I'm not going to try to ever guilt anyone into taking on this responsibility, but God's response to Moses when he continued to offer excuses was one of anger. God is angry when he gives a gift to an individual and they are unwilling to use that gift in his service. Joshua had to be reminded again and again and again that God would be with him. There at the very beginning of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 6, God said to him, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people. In verse 9, he said it again, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. And I can promise some of you men, if you're talked to, and if it goes on and our elders that are now serving talk with you, you will be terrified and you will be discouraged. But God's word to Joshua, his leader in that day, was don't let that hold you back. He goes on to say, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Gideon, another leader, he had to test God with the fleece before he was willing to take on the responsibility that God had laid upon him. And he continued to shy away from that task. And finally, in Judges chapter 6, verse 14, God simply said to him, go in the strength you have. He didn't feel like he had much strength. He didn't feel like he was able for the task. And so God finally just said, whatever strength you have, you go in that strength. And God would be with him and carry him through his leadership tasks. I tell you, I'm grateful more grateful than I express to the men who have served this church from its inception, for the five men who are currently serving this congregation as its shepherds. And we all recognize that we can't expect this small group of men to carry the load of shepherding an 800-member congregation. If this church is to stay healthy and to stay strong in the years to come, we need a few good men to be willing to step alongside those currently serving as leaders of this congregation. And one last thing that I want to mention tonight. This process that we've begun, it seems like a simple process. Well, I'll go home and I'll make a list of a few names and I'll turn it back in within 2 weeks like we've been asked. And then the elders will call some of those men in, and those who are willing to serve, they'll talk to. And then you'll be given a second opportunity. If you know a reason why some of these men shouldn't serve, then our elders have always been very specific about this. They've said, if you know a reason, you go to that person and you talk to them about it. And then having gone through that, here in a few Sundays, we'll have one or more men who will stand here before you. And our practice here at Sunset has always been, in the last few times, we ask the congregation, will you serve and support this man as a shepherd of this congregation? And the congregation responds affirmatively. And then we ask this man, will you shepherd the church of God over whom the Holy Spirit has set you to this task? And he answers affirmatively. And so in that way, we have additional elders that come on board here. And that seems like a simple process, and it seems like it's something that we're doing, but it's not just elders asking the congregation for names so that we can stick them into some hole that we can now say, well, that needs filled, that hole's plugged. That's not what it is. God is involved in this process. And as this was shared with you this morning by our elders, we have the Holy Spirit of God who is superintending this entire process. Notice again that passage in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Those Ephesian elders had at one point been selected to serve in Ephesus. They had served faithfully over a period of time. And now Paul is sailing through and he meets them there and he encourages them with those words and he says, keep watch over yourself and all the flock. Notice what he didn't say. Not the flock over which I appointed you, or the flock over which Timothy appointed you, or the flock over which you were selected by the congregation. He says, the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Folks, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And what God calls, God empowers. You know the story of the spread of the kingdom didn't end in Acts chapter 28. Now that's where Acts ends. But the story continued. And God could tell that story about the next generation and the next, and godly men who led His church. It's gone on down through the ages, and now it's our short turn on the stage of the world to serve our God faithfully in this generation. And my prayer is that God has already been at work, that the Holy Spirit has already been in the hearts of men, preparing them and leading them to this juncture in their lives. And that we as a congregation will now be able, and with the spirit of discernment and wisdom and prayerfulness, will be able to seek out from among us men who are capable of serving in this way. And I pray that these men will respond in faith. Now I know it'll be mixed with fear. And that they will respond with courage, mixed with humility. and that we will see a new generation of faithful leaders begin to serve alongside our existing leaders right here at Sunset. These are exciting times, and I am grateful that God is in the process. I want to lead us in a prayer, and then we'll extend the invitation. Will you pray with me? Father, this is a momentous time, and Father, help us to recognize the true gravity of this situation as we seek out men who will serve in this congregation. Father, I pray that you'll touch hearts, help those who are asked to serve willingly, if at all possible. Father, we pray that those who will be added soon to our existing elders will be able to hold up their arms and make their task easier and a greater joy. Father, I pray that we will be able to go through this process smoothly and maintain our unity as we've always done in the past. And Father, we're so grateful that your Holy Spirit is right in the middle of this whole process. This prayer we pray through the name of Jesus, our Amen.